Hi, everyone. Welcome to Your Funeral Coach Talks. I'm Lisa Bowie here again with good friend and leadership trainer, Marguerite Hamm. Marguerite is with us today to have some conversations about the generations that are in our workplace today. There's four, possibly five, right? And so we're going to discuss them and what their biggest needs are. Why are they quitting? Why are they not staying in funeral service longer than 5 years? And there was a 2019 study by the University of Oklahoma that shared that these young people are quitting after 5 years. And that percentage, my guess is, until a new study is done, which could be coming soon, we hope, much larger than 50%. And the majority of them that are in mortuary school today and are graduated and are out in the workforce are women. So we're very concerned about this. 70% are graduating from mortuary school today are females and non-binaries. We need to do something about this in funeral service, in death care, and it starts with us as owners, as managers, what you can do in the workplace. But let's learn a little bit more about these generations. Now, many of you have probably gone to seminars and webinars where you've heard all the generations and all their characteristics, but I want you to hear some of the latest research in what they are saying that we need to hear. So the millennials, let's talk about them a little bit. They are between ages 42 and 27 years old. They make up, in two more years, in 2025, 75% of our workforce.
And they're a huge generation.
They are, just like the baby boomers.
Right, they're 71 or 72 million strong.
Yes, yes, that's a lot. That's a lot of millennials. They are feeling not respected. They are feeling not developed. And here's some stats that I think everybody needs to hear about them, because this is the future of our workforce. Not, they're with us now and tomorrow. And they want to become owners, Marguerite. Yeah. They want to become leaders and managers. They're seeking and asking for development. And they're telling us that their employers are not giving them what they need. So let's find out why. So 63% of them say that their leadership skills are not being fully developed. That's reported in 2023 by Forbes magazine. Additionally, a leading reason for millennials wanting to quit are not enough support or opportunities to advance, as well as lack of learning and developmental opportunities. That's from Deloitte and Touche. So let's think about that a little bit. That means we as employers aren't getting it done, right? So what do we have to do?
Well, it gets pushed to the bottom of the list, right? The priorities become the whirlwind, which is serving families. Right. And so it gets pushed to the bottom of the list and it keeps pushing back and back and back because the whirlwind at the everyday business of funeral service can just take over everything.
Right. But here's the deal. If we don't continue to develop them, we will lose them.
That's right.
And we're hearing from funeral service and all of death care everywhere, cemetery, crematory, even those in different kinds of interrelated professions, they aren't staying. They're not staying in the workforce. So if they're telling us they want to be developed, I think employers and managers think they're developing them. However, I think there's a huge disconnect because they're telling us here in the latest research, they're not being developed the way they want to be developed. So what does that mean and what more do we need to do? Now let's hear from the generation behind them who is saying that message even stronger. So listen to these statistics with the Gen Zers, right? You call them the Zoomers, right? So they are making up 20% of the U.S. population, according to the last census tract, right?
Yep.
And they were born in 1997, and they go up to 2012. Now, that means they're 11 years old to 26 years old. And these are the ones that are coming right out of mortuary school with big hopes and dreams, and the ones that are not necessarily staying in the profession.
Right.
They're trying it out. And then they're trying other things out. They may come back, they may not come back. It depends on their development. They strongly believe, 76% of them, that learning is critical to their career advancement.
Well, and Zoomers are not going after the formal education as much as millennials. Millennials wanted that formal education and higher level, master level, doctorate level. And the Zoomers are like, I don't want to get into debt. So this is something new that's coming. You know how the generations shift from one thing to another?
Yes,
they're going into something like mortuary science, which is a specialized training. And I think there's also a piece, Lisa, where somehow mortuary science is not, the schools are not doing a good job of explaining the expectations of funeral service as well. They're giving them, they're coming out trained, right, as embalmers and knowing how to do arrangements and things like that. But what is the expectation of the profession itself?
Exactly.
And this can be a challenge for both them and for the current owners, who are the baby boomers. And the current owners, baby boomers, who we are is we are dedicated to work. Our identity is connected directly to our work. That is not the same for the other generations.
And Gen Xers think millennials and Gen Zers are lazy.
Lazy,
and they don't want to work. They don't want the work ethic because they want to have nights and weekends off. So there's another
big disconnect.
So listen to this, though. 74% of the Gen Zers said the opportunity for career growth is a top priority. So they want to be trained on the job. Yep. Right? They want to learn from you more how to improve their skill sets. And 82% of them want supervisors to help them set goals.
Right. Because they're not taught that.
No, they're not taught how to set goals or accomplish goals.
Right.
So this is something to pay attention to as well. And 73% of them are motivated to do a better job when they feel their supervisor
cares about them. And that's the heart center, right? And again, this can be difficult in this profession because things are moving so fast.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's like, I don't have time to think about you because I'm thinking about the families we're serving. And if owners and leaders and managers don't put their staff members first, they will leave.
That's exactly right.
And the staff members want to be set up for success, Lisa.
They do.
And there's a lot of times where staff members, because of time, because of old school thinking, they're not setting their staff members up for success.
They are not, especially from the beginning.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the beginning.
Onboarding.
Right. This is a big word. And they are just being brought in. They get to meet everybody. Go through the perfunctory HR, sign off on all the documents, right?
And then thrown to the wolves.
Here's the employee manual. Read this, you know, sign off on this. And then they go out and they team tag. And we used to call this training by tribal knowledge. So you go out and you learn from everybody else. But what happens if everybody else are not consistent, right? We used to hear this at Bowie's that, oh, I'm learning this from this person, but this person does it this way and this person does it that way. So one of my suggestions and what we did is create Bowie University. And we went down to the nth degree of each and every week, what kind of training and development that they would learn.
And you also created standard operating procedures.
We did.
Right? In each of your areas.
We did.
So that made a huge difference because then people had something to reference. Managers had something to hold people accountable to. And you got really clear. What are the expectations? And you had those included in those standard operating procedures.
We called it the Bowie way.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. And that creates clarity.
It does.
Some people can see that as cumbersome or controlling. It creates clarity. It really does.
Now, this is not the we've always done it this way before, because if you make that statement to these new young learners, you will lose them right away. At the same time you're training them and you're onboarding them, you need to ask them, what do you think of this training? You know, oh, well, at such and such funeral home when I apprenticed, I learned to do things this way. Why do you do things this way? You know, one of the things we have to do when we train and orient people is explain our whys.
Absolutely. Right? Simon Sinek, explain the why.
Oh, you do. And Dr. Alan Wolfelt says the same thing, the why we have funerals. So I think it's important to always explain to the next generation we're training and orienting why we do things the way we do. And what do you think about that? You know, ask their opinion. One of the things I've learned about this generation, Marguerite, is they want to be asked. They may not always have all the answers, but they want to feel respected and like you hear them and you hear some of their ideas too.
And it doesn't mean you have to implement them all.
No, you know,
but again,
listen.
What you can implement, great, and what you can't, explain why.
Exactly.
Right? That won't work because we've tried that before, whatever. But explain the why. Don't just ignore it.
Right. And in certain circumstances, that actually might work, depending on the family and the circumstances and what the family is requesting. So there, even though we have standard operating procedures, even though we're training you how to do it this way, our firm's way, there are still always exceptions to the rule because the customer is the one who is driving how they really want things done.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I really think the disconnect here for that we need to address is that we're not spending more time training and developing them. And it doesn't just end after the first 30 days, 90 days, or 180. Now, they're critical and they're crucial if you want them trained well. From all different areas of your business, if you have a frontline housekeeper or an administrative assistant, they should learn and take tours and learn everything you're teaching those coming out of mortuary school. We believed in that because
cross-training.
We're one big team.
Yep.
And we're all here. Even though I don't do your job, I'm going to learn how you do your job. The last thing you need to do is think about their development long-term and ask them,
what is it you want to learn?
Right.
And what's interesting is you may discover that, yes, this person went to mortuary science school. They're a wonderful embalmer, but they have an interest in finance. So that's a way that you can do some cross-training, put them in the business office every now and then. Maybe, you know, 3 or 4 hours a week, they go into the business office and they help out with the finance side in the business office. And that way they're continuing to develop and they're doing something that they enjoy doing. Right?
Exactly.
The goal is to get people functioning in what they like and are good at least 50% of the time. Now, we can't all be functioning in what we like 100% of the time, but if you get someone functioning in that area 50% of the time, they're going to be a lot more happy and more engaged.
Absolutely, as well.
And not just pigeonholed.
Exactly. And mixing it up. You know, have them get out in the field and learn new skills. Take them to conferences and seminars. Don't
Absolutely.
Just sit back and make them take paid time off to attend some of these conferences. There's a lot of scholarships out there too that you can get
a
to attend.
A lot of scholarships.
All different kinds of association, organizational meetings, national, state, local. Please get your staff members out there and take them with you. And please don't make them take vacation. And please, if they win a scholarship and it doesn't include transportation, give them some gas money. You've got to find some way to help them become more educated. Or better yet, get them in the car so you can spend a little extra time with them and drive to that next conference and take them with you. And that's how you get to know them better and listen to what their goals are for the future when you get some one-on-one time with
and
them.
And that's one of millennials' biggest concerns is money.
Yes.
It's one of their biggest focal points. And so, you know, pay your staff members too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I've been hearing so often that staff members aren't paid what they believe is their value. And sometimes they feel taken advantage of. And you've got to be able to find a happy medium that your organization is able to pay people what they're worth. This is a hard profession.
It is a very hard profession. And it really... If you look at pay scales, we are so far below where we should be. This is 2023, and we're not even close to what we should be paying our licensees.
Oh my gosh, and how much schooling is in some of the states? I mean, you know, there's 4 to 6 years of schooling involved.
There can be.
I mean, that can imagine the bills, right?
Yes,
the school tuition.
And scholarships
bills.
Help, yeah. But they don't help completely.
Right.
So what are you doing? If you can't find good employees, what are you doing to provide scholarship opportunities or enhancing the scholarship opportunities that are out there to help put people through the schooling that they need in your state to become better licensed? And then what do you do with them when they come on the job? That's so critical. They're from the very first day. Yeah. I've always looked at a new team member as someone that is like the first impression. It's like when you meet a new client family, you have one chance to make a good first impression.
It's the same thing with
so
new staff
you,
members.
Right, exactly. You as the owner, or if you're a larger firm, you as a senior manager should be showing up and saying, welcome. We're so honored to have you here in our firm, and we're excited to have you join us. And we want you to know, and I used to say this all the time in orientation, especially when we were casually just talking, is we want you to know that we'd like to hear from you. And if there's anything else you feel you're not learning that you would like to learn,
let us know.
Exactly. Here's my cell phone number. Here's my email address. Please personally reach out to me. I want to know what else you feel you need so you can better have the tools and the training to do your job.
So let's summarize, Lisa. So we talked about the generations. Right now, there could be possibly five generations in the workplace.
There could be.
So know what they are, know what each of the generations likes and dislikes, and what their values are, and what makes them happy and feel engaged and productive. Then we talked about onboarding, right?
Yes, extremely
when you're
important.
Onboarding your staff members, be clear with the expectations.
That's right.
Find out what's important to them. You know, coach them, get
exactly.
involved, have a relationship with them.
Oh, absolutely.
And then continue their professional development.
Exactly.
Right? So is that a good summary? What else do we
have? That's a great summary,
there?
But always ask them is their development doing?
Yes.
Right? So
are we hitting the mark?
Exactly. What more can we do? What more do you want to learn?
What's important to you?
Exactly. And I don't think those questions are being asked.
Yeah.
It's time.
I agree.
It's time. Way over time.
It's way over time. So overdue.
Right? We can help you with those questions, so give us a call. Thanks again, Marguerite, for being here with us. You can find out more about what Marguerite and I do at yourfuneralcoach.com. And y'all have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for being with us.